typing. Last seen today at 9:18 p.m. Dan must have thought better of his reply. Laurie clicked her phone off and pushed it back into her bag. Obviously, she didn't really mind the cliche. Booze was booze. That was trying to be wittily acerbic bravado. It was a distress signal. Laurie was at sea and her phone felt like a connection back to shore. Tonight was an unwelcome flashback to the emotions of lunch breaks at secondary school, when you had a single parent mum and no money and no cool. So far, the girls had discussed the benefits of eyebrow microblading. Ashley from Stag Communications looks like Eddie Munster. Whether or not Marcus Fairbright Page at KPMG was a bad arsehole who'd break hearts and bed frames. Laurie thought on what she'd gleaned. That was an emphatic yes, but also gathered that a verdict wasn't desired. And how many burpees you could manage at HIIT class at Virgin Active. No idea there. None. They were all so glamorous and feminine, so carefully groomed and produced for public display. Laurie felt like a dishwater-feathered pigeon in an enclosure full of chirruping tropical birds. Emily really owed her. Tonight was the product of something that happened roughly only once every 3 months. Her best friend, an owner of a PR company, begged Laurie to join their team night out and make it less bloody boring, or we'll spend the whole time discussing the new accounts. Emily, a CEO and hostess, was at the head of the table putting everything on the company credit card and handing round the Notarella olives and salted almonds. Laurie, late arrival, was at the far end.
"He was that then," said Suzanne to her right.
Suzanne had a beautiful shoulder-length sheet of custard-coloured hair and the gaze of a customs officer. Laurie turned and concealed her irritation with a ventriloquist's dummy smile. "Who was what?"
"On your phone, you look well intense."
Suzanne rolled her doe eyes upwards and mimed a sort of chimpanzee-like vacant trance state, her hands moving across an imaginary handset. She whooped with girlish alcohol-fueled laughter, the sort that could sound cruel. Laurie said, "My boyfriend." The word boyfriend had started to sound a trifle silly, Laurie supposed, but partner was so dry and stiff. She had a feeling her present company already thought she was those things.
"Oh, is it early days?"
Suzanne combed her fairy tale princess hair over her ears with her fingers and put her flute to her lips.
"Hardly. We've been going out since we were 18. We met at university." "Oh my God," Suzanne said. "And you're how old?"
Laurie tensed her stomach muscles and said, 36.
"Oh my God,"
Suzanne squawked again, loudly enough that they had the attention of a few others.
"And you've been together all this time, no flings or breaks. Like, he's your first boyfriend."
"Yeah."
"I could not have done that. Oh my God, wow. Was he your..."
She lowered her voice.
First.
Laurie cringed inwardly. "Bit personal after two drinks, huh?" Suzanne was not to be deterred.
"Oh my giddy aunt, oh no, Jesus!"
She said gaily, as if she was being fun and not judgmental and prurient and generally awful.
"But you're not married?"
"No."
"Do you want to be?"
"Not really," Laurie said, shrugging.
"I'm not madly pro or anti-marriage." "Maybe when you have kids,"
Suzanne supplied. "Oh, subtle. Piss the piss off." "Are you married?" Laurie said.
"No."
Suzanne shook her head and the lovely hair rippled.
"I want to be married by 30, for sure. I've got 4 years to find Mr. Right."
"Why by 30?
"I just kind of feel that I don't want to be on the shelf."
She paused.
"No offence."
"Sure." Laurie briefly debated, saying, "You know that this is really rude, right? I mean, you know you can't stick no offence on the end. Like it takes the curse off." And then made the usual British calculations about the 10 seconds of triumph not being worth the hours of embarrassment and hostility afterwards.
"Where are you from, Laurie?"
said Carly, in the animal print top sitting on the other side of Suzanne, and a familiar...